Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where meaningful conversation is mixed with a good drink. I'm your host, Jay Hutchins. Today I'm joined by Haley, who is an expert on survival mode and how to begin to build a life that breaks free of it. We welcome you to pour yourself a glass and join the conversation. Hi, Haley. How's it going?
Hi, how are you?
I am so well. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today. But before we get going, I have to ask you a very serious question.
Okay.
What's in your glass?
It is a very hot cup of coffee because it just woke up.
I love a good hot cup of coffee. It just hits the spot sometimes.
Right? What's in your glass?
So we're going to rock a little bit of a mango limeade situation here today.
Nice. Okay.
Well, with your lovely cup of coffee, Haley, do you have a cheers today?
I do. Cheers to great people and great conversation.
Great people and great conversation. Cheers.
Cheers. Okay, mine's super hot, so hold on. I might not be able to sip.
Just a little tiny sip.
Might burn my tongue.
I totally got it. Well, Haley, you know, people throw around the term survival mode a lot, but what does that actually mean in real life? And how does it show up for someone who might not even realize they're in it?
You know, with dealing with a lot of different clients from around the world, it really has shown me that everyone is so uniquely different in terms of what they're dealing with, how they're dealing with it, and also how their body deals with it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people come to me saying they feel lost or they just want a purpose. But then when we dig deeper, it's actually like chronic stress, chronic burnout. They're not themselves. But like most individuals don't recognize it because our nervous system gets like used to the environment. Mm-hmm. So then it feels normal. And it's really until you start questioning things and reflecting on some big things that you start realizing it's not normal.
Yeah. Having the nervous system react like that, it seems normal until it isn't, I guess, one day.
Yeah. Our nervous systems are pretty funny and like they're quiet at first. Mm-hmm. They'll give us signs and symptoms, but it's super subtle. But then they start screaming. And that's usually when you can't ignore it or you have some really big health issues or really big mental health issues. And yeah, it just gets louder and louder unless you recognize the little things. So that's what I'm trying to teach people, to recognize the little things.
Yeah, recognize the little ones before they become big, I imagine.
Yes.
So what are some of the common ways people actually slip into survival mode? I mean, especially in situations that might not seem very impactful on the surface.
You know, it could just be, for example, like a sport mom or a sport dad where their schedule's just like so crazy with all of their kids and so many sports and so many things. And it's like you look at their calendar and you're like, what are you doing? Like that's insane. And like their life can be great. They can have a great relationship. They can have no trauma. They can have this like cookie cutter life, but their schedule's mental. Mm-hmm. And that alone, like you're depleting energy consistently. And your nervous system gets used to that. So there's like that kind of thing where there's nothing really negative. Or there's you've been through some shit. Like you really have, either as a child or as an adult or a teen, and you carry it and you get triggered by it, and it's really hard to get out of. So yeah, it can come from anyone. It really can.
So even though it can come from anywhere, I imagine that survival mode kind of has some patterns that show up. So like when someone is in survival mode, how easy is it to remain in that state for an extended period of time, you know, and what's the cost of that?
You can honestly stay in survival mode for years and years if you don't recognize it or your body doesn't start telling you, which is so horrible on your body because high cortisol levels is linked to different chronic health conditions, including mental health conditions as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some new studies coming out with like high cortisol levels linked to different cancers or different chronic health conditions, such as like thyroid stuff. They're trying to see if there's a link to thyroid stuff. Gut health issues is a huge one. You know, it's if you don't recognize it, you could truly be in it for years and years and years. And I have some clients like that where they're like, oh, I've had the same environment for 20 years. I've been like this for 20 years.
That hurts.
Right? And it's just like, but until you have to, whether it's rock bottom or whether you're just looking for a new pathway in life, like until you stop to like look and reflect and try to change things, you're going to stay.
I know that you're an expert on this subject here, Haley. Was there a point where you yourself were actually in survival mode? And, you know, how did you get in that place?
I became an expert in this because of my lived experiences. And then I'm stubborn. So I was like, well, I want to understand these lived experiences. So I'm going to go get all the education to like figure it out. And so between the lived experiences and the evidence-based, that's where I became an expert. But it did take me to hit rock bottom. I was at a point in my life where my environment was not safe. My partner wasn't safe emotionally, chronically gaslit me, chronically lied and cheated and emotionally abusive. It was not a good time. But even that, even dealing with all that, it actually took, there was one point in time, which was my rock bottom. I was sitting on the couch with my three kids, and I've never had anxiety in my life, which I was blessed to not have to deal with that. But I started getting anxiety. I thought that was a bit weird. And there was this one point on the couch where I just had a full body panic attack. And my kids, I was trying to hide it, but I had tears running down my face. And my kids were like rubbing my back and singing to me what I would sing to them at nighttime, like their little lullaby. And yeah, and I just thought, I need to figure this out. Like, this can't, I don't want my kids to see me like this. Like, they're little and they don't deserve to like see their mom hurt or sad. And that was my breaking point in terms of I need to sort this out, because I was starting to get panic attacks every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And I knew I needed to remove my environment. I knew I needed to move. I knew I needed to remove my partner. I knew I needed to do all the big scary things, but never had the courage to do it until that moment.
So you had this aha moment after going through so much stress and I imagine a bit of trauma there. I think there's probably someone listening right now and thinking, this might be me. My schedule's crazy. It's insanely packed. Or I've had some trauma that I'm reveling in all of a sudden. You know, what are the key signs or patterns that might tell them they're operating from survival mode themselves?
Dealing with so many clients from around the world in so many different situations, it's hard to pinpoint exactly your signs and symptoms, but the common ones that I've seen across my clients are gut health issues, IBS, bloating, weight gain, weight loss. You know, when you eat something and your stomach just doesn't settle, because all of our emotions are built in our stomach. And so a lot of my clients have or had a really bad stomach or gut health issues or struggle with it at some cost. Mental health, another big sign. So whether your anxiety is getting worse or not getting better, you're on anxiety meds and you still kind of have anxiety, that tells me that nothing's changed in your environment. And other things like some people have had like heart palpitations, just like weird, irregular heartbeat, or they get the clammy skin or disassociation, or they freeze, you know, anything like that where it just seems like it's a bit off, or it's happening more often than not, then something's trying to tell you something, right? Like something's off. So when we get into a session, like they'll hire me for a one-time session, I do a complimentary session with them to kind of sort stuff out. But then when we start diving into it, we always go back and reflect to, when were you feeling your best self?
Oh.
What year was that? How old were you? What environment were you in? Were you single? Were you with someone? What was your home life like? What was your work life like? And how did you carry yourself? Like, what did that look like? Right? And then compare that to now. And you're going to start noticing, well, now I'm really impatient. Now I yell a lot, or now I can't sleep properly, or there's so many different things. And it's like, well, it's your environment. And I say environment in terms of people, place, thing.
Your
friend group, your family group, your work, social life, could be your home. Maybe there's trauma that happened in that home, environment is like a scan of your life right now. So unless you're willing to change some things up or learn some deep techniques that are holistic techniques that can help you within the environment at the moment, it's not going to change. You can do, and I tell my clients this all the time, like, you can do all the meditation in the world. You can do all the journaling. Oh. You can do all the things. But if your environment is still the same, it's not going to work.
That sounds like the nervous system is screaming at you, the environment saying red flag, red flag. And so there are signs when somebody's in survival mode or being pushed into survival mode. So let's say that somebody's actually saying, you know what? I recognize it. I'm in survival mode right now. What's some realistic first steps to at least start easing out of it, I guess?
I can help with a couple little techniques because it's really hard to just start, like, I don't know. Everyone talks about meditation and journaling and movement, which is great, but it's like, that's like a band-aid solution. Like, we need to kind of get to the root and then that stuff will work. So it's not that it doesn't work. It works in the moment and that's amazing, but you can't actually use those tools until you're really healing. So I like to start with, let's talk about that reflective state when you were your best self. You can even do that right now as you're listening. Write down your environment when you were your best self, people, places, things, what you did, how you felt, how you looked. And then I really, really like to just start with heartbeat and breath. And I know that sounds so simple, but like even like when we were carried in the womb, like the heartbeat is something we heard consistently and it's a calmer.
Yeah.
So, and then like even when the child is born, like as soon as you put a child to someone's chest, that heartbeat is like a instant calmer. And so that is embedded in us at a soul level, the heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really like to, I call it the bathroom. The bathroom effect. So every single time you go to the bathroom, this is what I say to new clients. Every time you go to the bathroom, before you do your thing, I want you to stand there either with your eyes closed or your eyes fixated on the tap. Mm-hmm. And I want you to press hard against your chest on your heart so you can feel it, hard enough to feel it. And then your other hand on your belly. And you're just going to stand there with your feet on the ground, standing there, looking at the tap or with your eyes closed. And you're just going to do big belly breaths. So your belly goes in and out as you're pressing on your heart. And honestly, like even just like a few minutes of that and just like recenters you. And I want to say anywhere for 30 to 60 minutes, just like that quick little regroup. So if you're going to start with anything to like start, like your nervousness is going to be, oh, what's that? That felt nice. But like, think about how many times you go to the bathroom during the day.
Yeah.
And it's a private room. So why not utilize that private room to shut out the noise? So you're already in there. So every time you go to the bathroom, do that. And it will help just start triggering your nervous system to become a little bit more okay with changing it up. Because when we want to change up our nervous system, it's going to get a bit angry and it's going to be like, what are you doing to me? So you need to like start just doing it more often. And that's just what I like to start with. I just actually onboarded a new client and we've been doing that all week. And it's just like, you got to just stick to it and start, just bring it back to center. It's so simple.
Yeah. I love this, Haley, those initial first steps that you've just offered there, where we're thinking back to our past states where we were at our best and we're thinking about that tiny moment of recentering the nervous center. You know, I think that's brilliant, actually. You know, we have discussed, you know, the cost of being in survival mode already. But are there actually costs of trying to break free from it?
The only thing is, like, you might want to switch up your life.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to leave that partner. You might want to disown that family member for a little while. You know,
okay.
Like, it's a thing. It's a thing. And so it's like, you know, you got to be ready, because once you start leveling up, it's very weird how people just delete from your life, whether it's on you or whether it's the universe just saying those people don't serve you and you're going up here and they're staying down here. I've seen it happen with most of my clients where they're like, oh, I've just really been working on myself after like working with you and hiring you. And so-and-so friend hasn't talked to me in a month and it feels good.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, so, and then you like start looking at that relationship. So it's, yeah, you, the only cost is that you're going to get a new version of your life and it's going to look a little different, but it's going to bring you to your like best self. And I promise you that, because it's like, you can't level up and still have the same life.
Oh, that is a word there, Haley. You can't level up and have the same life. So
you can't.
You might have to change some things, or you will change some things if you really want what you want. If you say you want it and you want it, got to make those changes.
And it's not scary. Like, honestly, like when things start leaving your life as you're leveling up, it actually feels like a breath of fresh air. Like, oh, that job just was deleted. Like, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. But then it's like, wait a sec. I hated that job. You know, it's just like there's little things are like, yeah, that friend was kind of an ass for years. So, yeah, I'm not going to be sad that they're not there right now. Or that family member has always been rude. Like, that's okay. Now I have big boundaries and I don't need to be allowing them into my field. You know, like, it's just, it sounds scary when you say, well, you might lose some people, you might change up your life, but like you always feel so much better.
So people definitely feel better and their environments likely have to change. So let's say somebody's like, help me, Haley. I just can't picture it. What does it actually look like when I've emerged from survival mode?
You start feeling lighter. You start setting boundaries for yourself that you actually stick to. A lot of your symptoms go away pretty quick. You start making decisions based off of a love to use the word selfish, but in the most positive way. I'm trying to change the negative energy around the word selfish, because you have to be selfish in your decisions in order to be your best self, in order to help others or be your best version for others, whether that's your family or friends. So selfishly, you have to do this. You have to make these decisions. And I love the new motto. I read a book, Pleasure Over Pressure, and I just have been embodying that motto. And I just share it with all my clients. In any decision, is it going to bring you pressure?
Ooh.
Or pleasure, right? And it's like, it really makes you think. Like, one of my clients is really struggling with emotional eating, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even really have to do with trauma. And I'm just like, okay, let's work through this. You want that bag of chips. Like, it sounds so dumb. You want that bag of chips. Will it bring you pleasure or pressure? And then she'll be like, well, in the moment, it's definitely pleasure. And I'm like, okay, but like the after fact, like now your goals aren't being met. Now you feel like crap because your stomach hurts. Now you feel like all groggy. Now you feel bad about yourself because you ate a whole bag of chips. Like that's the bad side of it. So like make the decision based on the future self. Is this pleasure or pressure? And like, we just go through it like that. But like, yeah, I've been doing that for myself, the pleasure pressure thing, for about 6 months. I just incorporated that into my workspace. And it's life changing.
It absolutely sounds that way. And Haley, if I may reframe something, you said that it's potentially selfish in the best way. But what if it's not selfish, but what if it's self-preservation?
Ooh, I like that. I do like that because, yeah, like selfish has like such a negative tone at times, right? And so a lot of people just like, well, I don't want to be selfish. It's been like embedded into us to like try to not be. Self-preservation is nice. That's a very positive spin on it because, yeah, we're like, we're trying to make decisions to be the best versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
We do want to preserve that glimmer of us that puts our best selves forward. Mm-hmm. And we want all the rest to shed away. So absolutely, we can preserve that side of us and allow it to grow.
This has me so excited just to think about the possibility of people breaking out of survival mode. But is there a mistake that people tend to make when trying to break free from survival mode?
I have clients. They come to me and they're like, I've tried everything. I've poured money into programs. I've poured money into different holistic things like massages and acupuncture and different classes and different studies. And, oh, I joined a group and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And they're like, I've done all the things. Why isn't it working? Mm-hmm. And I was like, because we haven't healed your nervous system. It's just Band-Aid after Band-Aid. You're just seeking all the easy things. You don't think it's going to be easy. I'm boldly going to say this. Sometimes therapy doesn't fucking work. Like, I'm sorry, but it doesn't work. I have clients that are like, I've been with my therapist for 10 years. I'm stuck.
Mm.
Why are you still with them?
That seems like one of those.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm just like, majority of my clients are like, I'm quitting my therapist. I'm hiring you. Because it's like, look at the therapy world though. We have an appointment next week. I'm getting triggered now. So I have to now wait until I see my therapist a week from now to brain dump all my stuff.
So that model can be challenging for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's just a very specific box of how Western society therapy is handled. I want to say about 75% of my clients have come to me saying, I've tried therapy for years. What's happening? Why isn't it working? Blah, blah, blah. There's a gap. And the gap is you're not being helped in the moment. And don't get me wrong, therapy is definitely for very specific situations. Like for myself, when I was leaving my partner who is very, very emotionally abusive, I believe they are a psychopath. They are a chronic liar. They are a chronic cheater and a full-blown narcissist. I went to therapy once a month for a year to understand them.
Oh.
To understand their tendencies, try to understand why their brain works that way in terms of why I got picked to be their partner, why they talk to me in certain ways or handle certain situations. And it really helped me like truly understand the way that they carry themselves as a very, very unhealed monster of a human. But then I have clients who are like, well, I've gone to therapy for years because I was abused as a child. Okay. So is it helping? Well, no, I'm still seeing my therapist. Okay. So then what's wrong? Why do we need to dive deeper? Do we need to go into talking about the abuser? Do we need to go into talking about healing your nervous system so that when you do go into your therapy sessions, you are more regulated so you can actually understand more or take more in or brain dump more? Because you can't hold therapy up here if your nervous system is broken. There's such a disconnect in the way our bodies heal at a biological level that we can't keep talking about things and trying all these tools if our nervous system isn't healed. So again, time and place. And I say that boldly. Yeah, therapy is great, but but mm-hmm. time and place. And it's the same thing with the meditation and all the things. It's not going to fully work unless you are regulated.
I love this perspective that there are tools out there that can assist you and can get you where you need to go, but your nervous system has to be ready. And
yes.
you have to sometimes reset that in order to get where you want to be.
Yes.
That makes absolute sense because yeah. that nervous system controls so much of how we respond to things in the moment and how our brains try to flee and all the things. Right?
Yeah. So, and it controls our body, like all of our reaction, heart rate, all of our senses, our intuition, everything. It controls everything. Like therapy won't fully work for you if you aren't in a regulated nervous system. It just won't. Even our brain doesn't even allow us to comprehend or heal certain things if we are in an unregulated nervous system. Our brain literally will just be in survival mode. And that's why you get, after deep therapy sessions, you're disassociated. Maybe you need a nap. Maybe you feel like shit for a few days. Maybe you have anxiety for a few days or you're heightened. It's because now you just dysregulated yourself more from an already unregulated nervous system.
Hmm. That's something to look out for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Haley, I'm curious, is escaping survival mode a one and done situation, or is there continuous work that has to be done to live a free life?
Healing's constant. But you get to a point once you start working through it that, you know, you start recognizing your own signs again. So if you get a bit, if stuff happens in life, like life happens. Mm-hmm. So you could be great for a few years and bam, something happens. And it's going to dysregulate you. But if you are on your healing journey and you are putting in the tools that I've taught you, when those moments happen and you shift back to like doing some of the work that I've taught you, and honestly, the work that I teach you is anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes a day. It's incredible. It's like muscle memory though.
Mm-hmm.
So once something again happens in your life, and it always will, and you get re-triggered, but you're going to be like, oh, I remember that when I'm re-triggered, I disassociate or I start getting headaches. Oh, I've been getting headaches a lot more. Maybe something's bothering, you know, like you start recognizing the signs, you're more aware of yourself. Mm-hmm. So no, it's not a one and done. It's more like, let's program this in you at a biological level of like how to regulate your nervous system so that when life happens, you could go right back to some of the stuff you were taught and it pulls you out so fast, because now you're fully aware of how your body reacts.
That awareness sounds like it can change absolutely everything.
Yeah, because some people, like the reason you're stuck is because you're not fully aware. Mm-hmm. So making yourself aware and understanding what that looks like is everything for future triggers, because it's always going to happen. Life is lifing, you know?
Life definitely lives. And I do have one more question for
you. Okay.
Where the heck can people find you and your work?
Oh, thanks. I have a website. It's just I like to just have a landing page. So it's www.haley-coleman.com. You put your name and email in there and tell me why you want to chat. And then I reach out to you and you get a complimentary session with me. Because anyone who reaches out to me from podcasts gets a complimentary session, and I just want to help the masses. So if you're listening from this podcast, type in podcast in the comments on my website and you'll get your complimentary session. And yeah, we'll just have a chat and I just want to help you.
You've got your marching orders, everybody. You got them. So, Haley, if I may, I would love to have one more cheers, if we may.
Yes, it's cooled down enough.
Love it. That coffee's still tasty, I hope.
It's amazing, honestly. It's my first cup of the day. It feels incredible. So
let's have a cheers to listening to our nervous system and helping to regulate it.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers. Haley, thank you so much for your wisdom and your insight and for helping guide us through this today. And just for being here, just really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I feel honored. And yeah, if anyone's listening, please reach out. my purpose on this earth is to help.
Definitely reach out to Haley, everyone. And thank you so much for listening. This has been Cheers to This.